Yes, I am the moderator. Okay. Hello. Listen, tonight we have a fight that'll be more grand than McGregor versus Mayweather. It will be more iconic than the Peloponnesian War. See, the topic is, are we Ovde Hashem, our partners with God? The fighters, Rav Amaru and Rav Grummet, they promised a civil debate. Any inappropriate actions will be cause for immediate dismissal. Each party will speak for exactly 12 minutes on the clock. Then the floor will be open to the public for questions. It will take about an hour, the whole entire event. At the end, each party will offer 5 minutes of concluding remarks. We're having a coin toss for who goes first.
Yeah, by the way, the dish was about.
It's a ten check or a tree. Who wants to choose?
No, you have to tell us.
Okay. Tree and ten. Okay? Drum roll.
You pick it up.
Ten. Rav Grummet, you may take the podium.
I will start the clock as soon as you begin to speak.
First of all, I don't think I've ever been introduced so dramatically in my entire life. So Jonah, you set a very high bar. This conversation first started at a faculty meeting before the year started. A bunch of people were talking around, and somebody threw out the term Evan Hashem and said, you know, at what point do we talk to the students about being an Evan Hashem? And I looked at him and I said, for me, never. But the words don't come off of my tongue. It doesn't roll off of my... I'm familiar with the term in Tanakh, but that's not the world that I live in. The world that I live in, my relationship with Hashem is not about serving God. I don't think God's interested in servants. If he wanted servants, he could make them very easily. Maybe robots. Louder.
Yes, thank you.
It's almost 11 o'clock at night and you want me to speak louder?
Come up.
I don't think God's interested in having us as avadim. That's not why he created us. He didn't create us so that we could become pliant and obedient. God created us because he was interested in partners. God is interested in having relationship with people. He's interested in, and beyond the relationship with people, I'll just give a little nutshell over here. That was when Hashem first created the world, that was the purpose. And it failed. Let's call it like it is. It failed. He tried having a relationship with people and he screwed up. And he tried again. And the second time he did only marginally better. That was the story of Bavel. Migdal Bavel. Bad name for the story, but that was the story there. And eventually Hashem says, okay, look, it doesn't work when I try dealing with everybody. So instead, I'm going to try working with an individual, a family. That family is going to build into a nation. I want partners here on earth who are going to help me connect with the rest of humanity. That's how I understand the story of Tanakh. That's how I understand the story of what we're doing here on earth. It's unfortunate for me that so much of that story got lost over the last 2,500 years for all sorts of reasons. We became focused on ourselves as Jews. Only on ourselves as Jews. In recent years, we've become focused only on ourselves as individual Jews, not even as national. Right? So I talk to students sometimes, they want to know about my, you know, they're interested in their tefillah and their level of religious observance, and I'm more interested in, okay, so what relationship do you have with God? How, when you wake up in the morning, How are you going to help God communicate with humanity? That's not service. That's partnership. Hashem wants us to be his partners, individually, communally, and nationally. And that's the way I see everything that I do. I'm not serving anybody. I'm not trying to crush who I am to become a servant to a higher being. To me, if you ask me, I think that's a very pagan kind of notion. Pagan notions, but God's created people because in the ancient world, God's created people because they were too lazy to find food for themselves. So they created people to serve them and to bring them food. And when the people don't do it properly, the gods get angry and they lash out at them and they punish them. Sorry, that's not my world. My world is not one of God didn't create us to serve him. He doesn't need us to serve him. He created us so that we could have a relationship. And that, I think, is the ultimate goal of what it means to be a Jew as an individual, and Am Yisrael as a nation. What can we be doing to help build the reputation of God in the world? And that's why, by the way, as an aside, that's why... How much time do I have left?
7 minutes.
7 minutes. Okay. No, that's fine. I'm going to tell you a little story. It's a true story. I was on the... goes back about 7 or 8 years. I'm on my way back from the airport. I'm sitting in a Sheirut, and there's one guy. I came to load up the Sheirut from the airport. There was one guy who got on and refused to sit in the one open seat. He's a yeshiva guy. No, not this yeshiva. And he refused. And there's a whole big hubbub, and you know. And the driver is trying to arrange all sorts of things. Eventually, we worked it out. I sat in that one open seat. He sat on the other side. And then, it was in the back. We were sitting in the back. I switched seats with him in the back row, four in a row. And I started a conversation with him. And basically, the guy, he was a young, he was about your age, maybe a year older than you. I asked him, I said, you're in yeshiva, right? He said, yeah. I said, what's the biggest mitzvah you could possibly do? What's the most important mitzvah in the entire Torah? He had a hard time scratching his head. He couldn't come up with the answer. I said, okay, you know what? What's the worst avera anybody can do in the entire Torah? In all of Judaism, what's the worst avera? So, of course, the answer is... What?
There's three.
Right? There are three of them, right? And I said, no. You're wrong. How do I know he's wrong? Because there are things... But those three things have in common is actually the worst of everything we can do, and that's called Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem is docha everything. You have to give your life for Chilul Hashem. Conversely, the biggest mitzvah you can do in your entire life is Kiddush Hashem. Why is that? Because that's what we're created for. We're created to spread God's name to the rest of humanity. And to help God connect with the rest of humanity. And my job there is not as God's servant, but as somebody who's going to help facilitate that. And conversely, if I damage God's attempt to connect with the rest of humanity, that's Chilul Hashem. That's the worst thing I can possibly do. I said, you're sitting here on this van. There are 9 other people aside from you and me. How do you think they feel about the God that you worship? Because he was talking about, I can't do this, and it's an Avera, and it's a this. And I said, what kind of Avera is it? Is it the right or the Rabbanan? He couldn't answer me. Can you tell me where in the Shulchan Aruch it says you're not allowed to sit next to a woman? Couldn't answer me. So I can show you where it says it's Asur to do a Chilul Hashem. And it's the worst avera anybody can possibly do. Right? Now, you know, the aftermath of this story is he gets off and some woman turns around and says, "Who are you?" And I told her, she said, "What do you do?" I said, "I teach in yeshiva." "Which one?" I said, "Eretz Yisrael." She says, "Oh my goodness, my son goes there. Now I know I picked the right place." It's a true story. I tell the story because I think it captures the essence of what we should, what in the big picture, what our role here is on Earth, and how that impacts the way we do things. I think it has to impact the way Medinat Yisrael makes decisions. Is that going to be a Kiddush Hashem or a Chilul Hashem? If it's going to be a Chilul Hashem, you better think about it a million times as to why you're doing that. It's going to save 3 lives. Chilul Hashem. That's a weighty decision. I'm not saying that flippantly. That's a really weighty decision. I don't think people think in those terms. And the notion of Am Yisrael doing Kiddush Hashem in the world, I think is the greatest thing we could possibly do. Chilul Hashem is the worst thing we could possibly do. And our role as God's partners in bringing that about. Okay. With my 2 minutes left, Rav Amaru can take them.
Okay, so 14 minutes of the clock.
Rav Tzvi, as always, is a hard act to follow. To be honest with you, the counterpuncher in me would really like to take this to a whole other place. So it's sort of an act of will to stay on topic. Because I can't say I disagree with a single thing that Rav Brahma just said, except for the fact that there's something about the spirit of it which makes me gnash my teeth. And I say that truly from a place of tremendous respect for Rav Grumman. And I imagine that it will come out where the point of disagreement, if we want to call it that, is. It's not really disagreement, it's more a sensibility, but okay. I want to try to stay on topic, nevertheless, and I will come back perhaps to what I opened with in towards the end, as John will signal me when my time starts to run out. You need to have like a little piece of paper where you sort of say like 2 minutes or something like that. But that's how we do it in academic conferences. I'm trying to raise the bar here. Okay. Rav Grumman talked about partnership with God in this sort of very evocative way. And I think we need to do a little sort of conceptual work here before I get to the point. And the people who are in my class this afternoon, well, you know this is where I like to go, but when we use the terms, right, the terms are terms which are meant to evoke a certain kind of way of thinking and being. They're not literal terms, right? Nobody is, in any kind of literal sense, a partner with God or a servant of God. They're metaphors for a certain set of attitudes and associations and feelings and relations that and ways that we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I can't say I object. In fact, I identify fully with Rav Grumman's point, or Rav Grumman's sort of reading of Tanakh as a sort of a narrative arc towards Kiddush Shem Shamayim, in the world. That being said, I don't know if that's the whole story. I don't know if I don't know if I'm willing even to limit my sensibility to one story. Now, if you ask me how do I relate to the concept of being an Eved Hashem, the concept in Hebrew would be Shutaf Lashem, doesn't appear anywhere, as far as I know. Right? No, that's not necessarily a criticism, right? It's just a terminological point. But the concept Eved Hashem appears all over the place. And just to give an example, and I want in a moment I will try to cash some of this out. Right, in Parashat Behar, Rabbi Barley knows everything I'm about to say, and the questions that I want to ask him, which you guys are going to help me with, is what do you do with this theme, which is so prevalent throughout, not just Chazal, but Tanakh. But all right, that's you guys are going to do that work for me. Okay, but in Parashat Behar, in talking here about a person who is a impoverished. And he's so impoverished that he sells himself into slavery. And the Torah says, if your brother becomes impoverished with you and is sold to you, you're not allowed to set him to work as a slave, even though you've bought him. He has to be sort of a hired worker for you. And he goes free at the Yovel. I'm skipping a little bit. Why? And then the Torah explains, Ki avadayhem, asher hotzeti otam me'eretz Yisrael. Right? Because the Israel are my avadim. Right? Now we can translate avadim as slaves or as servants. I'm not going to even go into that. You know, I'm going to give it. I'm going to sort of, you know, a grant to my dignified opponent, that I'm going to make the harsher reading. I'm going to say that they're my slaves. So I'm going to understand Eved Hashem not being my as servants of God, but even I'm willing to even swallow the slaves of God. I took it to Egypt. They cannot be sold as full blown slaves. And then there's certain limitations upon Eved Ivri, which are spelled out. In other words, we are slaves of God, or servants of God. Slaves of God sounds a little funny. In a minute, I'm going to talk about that. We are servants of God, and therefore we cannot be entirely enslaved to another human being. Right? Now, there's a lot to talk about there, and I could give a whole share about that little parsha, but that's not our purpose here. I want to talk about a little bit about, so what does that mean? What does it mean when the Torah insists that we are servants or slaves of God, and somehow it's related back to Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and God redeemed us from Egypt, and in that sense, so to speak, we became his servants rather than Egypt's servants. But I think what's going on here isn't a formal legal relationship. It's a certain conceptual space. And I think it's a conceptual space which modern people have difficulty with. We find the concept of subservience or of deference or of a service challenging or uncomfortable. Not that we don't make use of it, right? Everybody here makes use of it in a certain sense or another, right? That, you know, if you go to the gas station and the guy fills up your tank, he's serving you, and there's like even a service ethos, right? Of people who work in the service industries, right? But in a certain sense, there's something about that relationship of master and servant that is uncomfortable. And it's certainly something which we want to have very sort of contained, right? The guy in the gas station is in the service industry, and he's your servant, quotes, in a very narrow context, but you both get to vote the same way, right? There's no one has any higher level in terms of whether or not they can vote. In earlier times, the relationship between people who were servants and people who were masters, that was a reality which was not constrained or qualified to very particular narrow context, it was an identity. Right? There were people, and people were comfortable, and they inhabited those identities. They inhabited identities of some people were masters, and some people were servants, and all the gradations, this is all very crude, right? But all the different gradations, and in fact, in hierarchical societies, that was sort of very obvious. We do have this to an extent, right? If anyone has ever worked in government, right, there's very self-conscious hierarchies, right? You don't need to work in government. Anyone's ever watched The West Wing, right? Right, so the way people relate to the president, right? Even though it's a fantasy, but you know, it's this very deferential relationship, right? There's something to that nature of a relationship, which the Torah says is also part of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I talk about being an Eved Hashem, I think that there's something crucial in our religious lives which is lost if we give up on that. Not to mention that it's pervasive in the liturgy and in Tanakh. Right? So, like I said, that you're gonna bug with Grumman about. But besides the pervasiveness of it, I think there's a value in it. In our, as human beings, and as Jews, not in to the exclusion of Rav Grumman's beautiful vision of partnership, I don't think the two things are necessarily in conflict, they're in tension perhaps, but there's a conception of our relationship with God in which we need to bow our heads in deference, in acceptance of Ol Malchut Shamayim, right? All is a yoke, right? The acceptance of the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. It is part of the conception of being commanded, of being mitzuveh, right? We are commanded. A commander, right? Someone who issues commandments isn't a partner. And our relationship with God should not, in our interest and in our commitment to the vision of redeeming the world, should not confuse us that we're walking hand in hand with God as partners. We are subordinate in this relationship, and it's good for us to be subordinate. In fact, I'm quite confident that sort of the radical egalitarianism that everyone is the same, and there's no sort of hierarchies which are not sort of temporary. And I think it's very it's inhuman in a certain sense. It's sort of a lie. Whereas we all live within hierarchies. Some of them are more explicit than others. Some of them are more formal than others. But I think that the human beings would not thrive without them. And we need people to look up to. We need people to admire. I don't know if anyone here has had the experience of being in contact with someone who they intensely admire. And want. I remember having this experience with Rav Lichtenstein. That I used to drive Rav Lichtenstein around sometimes, like to weddings and things. And Rav Lichtenstein, by the way, had no patience for people trying to serve him. He was a very modest person, and it drove him a little crazy. But we, the students, We desperately want it. I mean, the term in Chazal, yeah, I got it. You don't need to keep doing it every minute, all right? I know I'm borrowed time, but the time was borrowed, right? We wanted, the term in Chazal is l'shamesh tamidei chachamim, and that's really to serve in the way that a body servant serves, right? In other words, that we wanted to be able to sort of do stuff for him because we admired him so much. Now, The comparison is only a analogy, right? There's obviously a difference between your relationship to a human being and your relationship to God. But I don't want to give up on the notion of that, of deference, of subservience, of that I exist in order to do God's will. Now, I might philosophically have a notion of what God's will might be, which relates to Kiddush Hashem, And I don't know. I was feeling bad for that poor kid in the car. But the notion that we don't relate to God as our master, I think, is a tremendous loss. It's a conceptual loss, which I would not be so quick. I think we should actually seek to become Avdei Hashem. Seek to reach a stage where we can really be in that sort of that emotional, conceptual space where we view ourselves as servants of God. I don't want to give up on that, and I don't think you should either. But I'll stop here and give Rav Tzvi. Well, why don't you come stand next to me and we'll sort of do this together.
You want to dance? Okay.
This will be 30 minutes, I believe. Questions and 10 minutes to
end. Okay.
We'll just see how it goes.
So, Jonah, you're moderating.
Yeah, you have to tell people who's going
to
talk.
You have to tell people, and you can direct them, like, you know, who's your question directed to,
exactly.
Or is it a generic kind of...
You have to come here.
I have to get the microphones.
There you go.
All right, my question is directed at Rummett.
Okay.
And this is actually something I remember, which really stuck in my head because Rav.
By the way, should we just sit down and stop standing here like idiots?
Yes.
Okay.
This sticks in my head.